But you know, as I was watching the children perform, I was sitting there watching them, and as they would get up there and sing, and they would hit bad notes, and maybe they weren't on time, or you know what, I'm going to trip over this because I walk a lot, so I'm going to move this. This is where I get all my steps in, is when I'm preaching. And so as I began to watch them, and I sat there and I was blessed. My heart was literally turned to mush as I watched them get up there and sing. There were moments in their performance where, you know, they didn't know absolutely maybe half of the song. They didn't even know it, but the parts that they knew, they sung it out for God. And so God impressed me. He's like, John, listen, you're not always going to know everything. You know what? You don't have to know everything to be able to get up there and minister to somebody. And you don't have to know everything to be able to go out in this world and to be able to draw somebody to Christ. But boy, the things that you do know, shout it from the mountaintop. And so as they were singing that, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Boy, they were saying it with joy and with pride and with confidence that, listen, it doesn't matter. Go tell it on the mountain. And so as I was watching them, I was extremely blessed by that. And so that is not what my sermon is about. Sermon number two. So last week we were talking about the wilderness, and Pastor Jeff had kind of led this all off by starting on evangelism. And you know what? I think God's heart is truly a heart of evangelism. He goes after those that are lost, and he seeks out those that haven't yet been found. And really, you know, everybody that he sent was, you know, to do evangelism. And as I begin to, we went to watch a movie last night, and it was The Chosen. And as we watched it, and I was watching everything that was happening and how that Jesus literally, he didn't come by natural means, and, you know, his Father was the Holy Spirit, and he came, and as he was born in a manger, or born in a stable and laid in a manger. And as I begin to meditate on that, it's like, man, everybody that God has intended to make huge impacts on this world, it just wasn't normal. You know what I mean? It just wasn't the way that we would perceive it or the way that we would think about it. And the way he went about his ministry was so far beyond what we would put together for a ministry or whatever. And so anyway, I'm humbled to be up here. I love you guys. Grace and mercy. My brother-in-law says that a lot online. He says, grace and mercy, because I will probably make some mistakes. I made a few on the guitar this morning. Everybody say, oh, that's those notes. Remember last week? Those notes that Pastor Jeff told me not to play, that's the ones that I played today. So, wildly successful evangelism. So as I was watching Pastor Jeff's video on Facebook where he had went to over into the mission field and he was speaking, he asked one day, he said, listen, I want you guys to pray that we will be wildly successful in evangelism while we're here. And I think that they were. I heard some stories about while they were gone and the things that God did through them, the way that God moved through them. And so today, as he was saying that, I thought, there's my sermon topic right there. Wildly successful evangelism. Let me read you this this scripture out of 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. It says, solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready. Listen, church, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire, and will turn away their ear from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, church, but you be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So as I began to pray about this, I felt like God was saying, John, it's about the harvest, right? Seeds have been planted, the fields are ripe. And so as I get started, here's what I want to start with. The fruit is found on the tree. How many of you have ever been to, there's a few peach orchards around. How many of you have ever waited for the time to go to the peach orchard and go out there and pick fruit from the tree? Anybody in here? I see several hands. You know, there's a time for that, right? You had nothing to do with the preparation of that harvest. You just showed up with your bucket and your little deal that you picked the fruit from, and you're so proud that you got the biggest peach from the top of the tree, and you get to go home. And when you bite into that thing, man, it's amazing. You know, you could have done the same thing by going down to the grocery store and just buying some growth, but it's not the same, right? So listen to me. This morning, we're going to start off with this. The fruit is found on the tree. When you showed up to that orchard, you probably didn't pick the ones on the ground, but the ones that were on the tree. Listen, the only place for the harvest is in the field. When I was, when my grandpa was dying, he had Alzheimer's, and we were sitting out on the back porch one day, and he said, John, he said, you see all this? He didn't have much. He had a couple acres in Nakoma Park. He said, you see all this out here? Anything you want, it's yours. I said, wow, that's pretty good, Grandpa. He said, well, any of the fruit you want out there on the trees, you can have. I was like, man, doggone it, I wanted the lawnmower, but no, all the fruit on the trees. And so I can remember as a kid, I would go out there, and he planted this this plum tree in the backyard. He was a busy man. So he was always planting stuff, cutting it down, planting something else. And then we got to get rid of the stump. And then he's going to plant another tree. And as we planted, I remember this one plum tree that he planted right out back behind the cellar. And as this plum tree got larger, I went out there one day and the limbs were breaking off of this tree. Right? It was just so full of fruit and it was so ready to be harvested. But because we didn't mess with it, we just left it to its own demise, these limbs started breaking off. And so as I began to prepare this message, I could see that tree in my mind. And so I put this apple tree, it's not on there, but I put this apple tree on there. It's just full of fruit. And church, as we talk about this today, I want you to know, I spend enough time in the community and I get to see stuff that maybe some of you don't see, but I'm telling you right now, the harvest is ripe. Right now, the trees are about to break. It is in full ripe, it is in full bloom, and it's ready for you to go out and to harvest this harvest that is out there. Listen to me, it's easy. I may get in trouble for saying this one. So if you're here, Pastor Temple said, sometimes I have to say, do you guys love me? So I'm going to ask you, Pastor Temple, you guys love me? Yes. All right, here's what I'm going to say. God forgive me if it's wrong. My wife said, oh boy. Out loud, on video as well. I'm gathering my thoughts if you can't tell. Make sure this comes out right. Listen, this church is so blessed by everybody that's here. This church, we have a church that is so loving. I hear it all the time that, man, when I showed up to that church, people hugged me, people loved on me. Now, one guy had bad breath, but other than that, they're talking about me, probably. But here's the thing, church, it's easy. As I watch all these churches, it's almost like we have this pool of water that just keeps revolving. You know, when we go to harvest something, we go to the field, but we don't go to the store to harvest it. It's already been harvested. And so something that I want to impress on you today is there is a field that is so vast out there that needs to be harvested. And I know when Pastor Temple was pastor here, he used to impress on people, listen, we're not trying to take people out of churches. But listen, if you've been hurt in a church or whatever and you need a place to be, this is it. You're a VIP member. This is your church. And we love having you. But listen, church, we can't create a harvest and we can't go out and have a harvest and we can't reap the benefits of the harvester without going to the field. See, we're not going to other churches to pull people that's already been harvested. If you show up here and you come here, we're glad you're here, right, Pastor Temple? We're excited you're here and we want to feed into your life. But church, listen, that's not where the harvest is at. See, there's a field out there that need people like you to get out of this church and to go outside these walls and to go into the lost and into the people that are hurting and dying and say, listen, let me bring you to church. And let me tell you something, Jesus did just that. See, one of the things this morning that I was reading that's not in my notes is Jesus, whenever he had been baptized and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he had gathered up all of his disciples, said the first person that he went to was a Samaritan woman at the well. You know where the disciples went? The disciples went to the market to get the food. Right? Jesus stayed out in the harvest field. And as Jesus sat by that well, this woman that wasn't yet harvested come up to him. And as she was dipping her vase or whatever it was in the water, he said, hey, can I have a drink of that? Or he come to get a drink, or I can't even remember exactly how it went. And it said that as she looked at him, he didn't have nothing to dip into the water. And as they began to talk, he said, listen, I have something for you, a water that I can give to you that you'll never thirst again. And she couldn't perceive that in her mind. And she began to tell him, she said, you know, why are you talking to me? You're not supposed to talk to me. See, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Not only am I a Samaritan woman, I'm not even a good Samaritan woman, because see, everybody that's been harvested is back out there in the city. I had to come to this well on my own. And Jesus began to speak to her and he said, you know what? Go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He goes, you're right. You've had five husbands. Right? And he began to speak into her and he began to speak things that only a prophet would know about her. And she goes, you know what? You must be a prophet. See, at some point or another, there's going to be this guy that's going to come and he's going to explain things to us and he's going to make things right and he's going to do things in our life to make things better. And he said this in the harvest field. He said this. He said, listen to me. The one that you speak about is me. The one that you speak about is standing before you right now. And I thought, man, Jesus didn't go to the priest in the temple and say, guess what? Here I am. Jesus didn't go into the market and say, you know what? All hell, King Jesus, here I am. Jesus sat by the well. And the first person he revealed himself to was the most wretched person that was probably in that community. And you know what happened when Jesus plucked that one piece of fruit from the tree? That woman went back and she gathered up all the Samaritans. She said, you're not going to believe what I just experienced. There's a man there that spoke into my life things that nobody else knew, that he shouldn't have known, a stranger wouldn't have known. Maybe all y'all know it. This guy's a stranger. He didn't have a clue. You've got to come meet this guy. And it said they come and they stood before Jesus and Jesus spoke to them. And it said many that day believed. Right? Jesus didn't go into the temple and say, hey, I need you to believe. No, Jesus reached that one lost woman that was off the beaten path, that was turned away by society, and through that one woman, Jesus reached an entire community. Listen, church, we're not here to buy somebody else's fruit. You know, God didn't call you to go to the supermarket and get somebody else's fruit or go to somebody else's church and convince them that this is the absolute best church. God called us to go out into the fields in a time of harvest, and I can tell you right now with all certainty, it's never been more ripe than it is right now. Have you ever been to We don't do Easter egg hunts and stuff, but when I was a little kid, I remember we went to this grocery store and they had this big Easter egg hunt, you know. And I'm running along and I'm picking up these eggs and I look at my little sister and she's running behind everybody else. Well, she's not getting any eggs in her basket because she's following everybody else. They already picked them up. Church, God's called you to be uniquely you in this community. If you're in this community, you're in this church, God called you to this community. You know what I mean? Just like these kids up here and they're singing and they're saying things that maybe aren't even in the song. But boy, they blessed my socks off, right? I remember Wyatt. You remember that? remember Wyatt up here when he was little? They were like, they sang the song, and the only thing he remembered in that song was, pa-ra-ba-bom-pom. And so he'd get to that part, pa-ra-ba-bom-pom. Up here doing push-ups on the stage, kissing little Gracie on the cheek. Listen, church, use what you have. Find whatever you got and use it. I guarantee you God will bless your harvest. Listen, the fruit is only on the vine for a season. Right? Fruit is only on the vine for a season. If we don't pluck that stuff off and preserve it, it will die. Matthew 9, 36 through 38 says this, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Listen, church, the same is true today. Go out in this community and look around. You know, one of the things that amazed me about this trip that our pastor and our group took, one of the stories that had happened is they were walking through a road or a community. I don't even know where they were at. And they come up on a homeless person, right? Am I telling it right? It was a homeless family sitting on the road. I remember seeing in the picture a mother and a couple of children. See, the harvest field is ripe. And so they're walking along looking for fruit to pick. And they walk through this town or wherever they were at, and they see this woman sitting there, and they stop and they talk to her. Right? Maybe they didn't preach to her. Maybe they didn't say, you know what? You're going to hell if you don't turn your life around, boy. Hell's hot. But they stopped and they loved on her. And they told me, they said they took them later on. I don't know if it was that day or the next day, but it was one of the little girl's birthday and they had a surprise birthday party for her. Church, that's what God's called us to do. See how that when you pluck that fruit and they brought them in, I guarantee you that family's life was changed for an eternity. You know what? And not only God's such an amazing God, he doesn't just change their life through that act of kindness. I guarantee you that boy's life right there has been changed forever because of what he experienced through doing God's will. Your life, church, will be forever changed if you take the time to stop and you see somebody on the side of the road, or you see somebody that maybe doesn't dress like you dress, or maybe somebody that is dirty, and maybe somebody that everybody else in society has shunned, you can't imagine the impact you would have on that person to stop and smile. To stop and say, you know what, I love you. And you're like, Pastor John, I don't know Scripture. Shout it from the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. If that's the only thing you know, just stop and love on them people. God won't just change their lives, but God will impact your life in a way that you'll never be the same. And I can tell you that from experience. Don't get the cart before the horse. Anybody ever heard that statement? Boy, I do it all the time. That's tough. You got horses. You ever get the cart before? Colossians 4, 5 through 6 says this, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders. Make the most of the opportunity. Right? They made the absolute most of the opportunity that they had. They stopped to that woman and, you know, maybe they didn't have all the right stuff to say, but they had a birthday cake. Make the most out of every opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each other. Listen, church, we got to harvest, then we have to process, right? During one of our meetings, I walk into the meeting and there's this little can sitting in front of my chair. And I sit down, and it's a little Christmas present, and man, Pastor Keith, he's amazing. He's got this little can, and my poor wife, she never got to experience this, but I crack this can open, and it's, anybody in here like candy pecans? Yes. I was telling him that I go to, every time I go to an event, that candy corn smell catches me. You know, I'll be walking along, pulling out my wallet, giving them all my money. And so I go in, but every time I eat these things, they're not as, you know, the smell is amazing, but it's just not great. So, but I still buy them every time. So I come in and I sit down and I pop this thing open and guess what it is? No, it wasn't candy pecans. It was candy pecans. And I take one out and I'm expecting that maybe it's going to be just like it is at the ball game. And I pop this thing in my mouth and it's like it melts, right? My mouth is watering right now. My cheeks are, right? Melts in my mouth. It's amazing. It's so good. And I said, Keith, right? Tell him if I said, Keith, listen, this pecan is so amazing. I buy them all the time and I can't tell you how amazing this is. He's like, oh, now, John. I said, no, I'm being for real. This thing is the best candy pecan I've ever had in my life. What did you do? He goes, well, be honest with you, John, that was last season's pecans. But here's what he did. He said, John, I took him pecans and I stuck them in the freezer. I preserved them. I pulled them things out when the time was right. I took in things and I put them on this pan. I shook them up. I put the sugar on them. I stuck them in the oven. And then 5 minutes, I pull them out and I flip them over and I stick them back in the oven for 5 minutes. And I pull them out again and I'm thinking, good Lord, that's why they were good. And I flip them over again and I stick them back in there. How many times did you do that?
Three or four
times, right? And he's like, it's easy. And I thought, you crazy? That's not easy. I don't want it. I'll just pay you to make me pecans. I'm not making them silly things. No joke. He'd go into business making them pecans. But here's the point I want to make. Church, oftentimes in that scripture, let me read it real quick before I give you this point. It says this. Again, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instructions. We get those first two things right all the time, right? Oh, I could tell that guy what he's doing wrong. If I give me just 5 minutes, I'll let him know. Keith, I can tell you what you did wrong with them doggone pecans. But we forget the part where we're supposed to exhort this person and we're supposed to have great patience and we're to give them instruction. See, Keith didn't just go pick these pecans off of the tree and shell them and stick them on a tray and put them in a can and set it on the desk. And I come in and I open up and, boy, that's not that great. Keith, you should have done something a little more with that. That's the way it is with this harvest, church. We can't get the cart before the horse. See, you're not going to change people's lives until you harvest them. Then the processing starts. Then we start to preserve the life that's still left in them. Then we start to work out the impurities and the shells and all that stuff that's left in them. Right? We can't go out there and say, you know what? If you'll go ahead and jump on this tray and jump in the oven and I can pick you off of the tree and you taste like this amazing candy pecan, then I'll spend my time with you. No, it doesn't start like that. And let me tell you something. This harvest that's out there, the shell is thick. Right, just like I said last week, to win somebody's trust is extremely hard in today's time. Processing will take time and patience, lots of patience, especially. Boy, could you imagine the pastors that had to raise me up? Church, storms will often drive the harvest. You know, when I thought about that woman at the well, can you imagine the storm that lady was in? Boy, the guilt that woman felt. Can you imagine what it was like to have to walk to that well all by herself? All of her friends have deserted her. But Jesus met her in the middle of the storm. You know them goofy Oklahomans? They see a tornado rise up. It's like Great State Fair, Oklahoma, just come to town. There's cars lined up for miles trying to get to that thing. Church, God's called you to be storm chasers. See, oftentimes whenever that storm comes, we want to jump in our hidey hole. But there's those of you in this congregation, I know, that God says, get out of that storm shelter. This is your time to shine. You see that storm over there? I want you to run into the eye of it. I want you to speak into that person's darkness. And when you do, that person's going to come out of that storm and that person's going to go back to their flock, right? Anybody ever heard birds of a feather flock together? That person's not the only person in the storm. And when they go back, they're going to say, you know what? I met this person from Bethel Church, Choctaw. They told me about this guy, Jesus. See, he told me things about myself that nobody else knew. And when I met this Jesus, oh, it changed my life. You got to meet him. And you see all these VIP seats that we've left open? They'll be filled up with people from the harvest. Listen, my dad's cornfield when I was a kid, he always planted the... I can't do it. I don't have this ability. Keith does, plants amazing gardens. I know Derek, he likes to plant gardens with his grandpa, but my dad one year he planted this whole garden, right? This big garden, maybe as long as this auditorium here, and I don't know, maybe about as wide as two of these sections. Planted this corn, and man, it popped up like this, and it was beautiful. It was really cool. It was big old cornfield. And one day my dad goes out there and he says, hey, I think this corn's ready to pick. You know, it looks like it's ripe. And my mom's like, well, why don't we wait till tomorrow? All right, well, I think we need to pick it today, but we'll wait till tomorrow. I can't remember what it was. I'm sure there was, let's not mess with it today. You know, my back's hurting. I'm ready to sit down. It's been a long day. John, he's wore a slick. You know what? We go to bed that night, Mike. We wake up the next morning. There wasn't a single ear of corn left in that field. Not one. I kid you not. Every ear of corn had been shucked and eaten, and the cobs were laying there. See, the coons come up out of the creek at night. See, they knew. They weren't the only ones. We weren't the only ones watching for the harvest. Right? When it come ripe, they knew it. And if we would have just been on our toes and picked it that night, we'd have got to reap the benefits of the harvest. Church, we're not the only ones waiting for the harvest to become ripe. See, there's an enemy out there that's seeking all that he can devour. See, those coons, they come up out of that creek and they devoured every ear of corn. The enemy won't sleep. He won't wait. When it's ready, he's going to jump on the opportunity. And church, that's why we have to be in season, ready, in season and out of season. In John, it talks about Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said this. He said, listen, you guys say that we got 4 months till the harvest. He said, that's a saying y'all got. And what he was saying is, he was saying, you know what? You guys say all the time, we don't have to mess with it today. We got 4 months till the harvest. I can tell you yesterday in this church, there was a 30-some-year-old man that we had his memorial service. His harvest didn't last the 4 months. Church, it's easy to look in the mirror and say, I've made it 40. How many old am I? 46. I've made it this long. It'll be all right. Well, they'll get it right one of these days, church. The harvest will not wait. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire and will turn their ears away from the truth. That time is now. I don't know if you've talked to anybody or if you've watched any news. I'm telling you, that time is now. Church, the apple will fall. Hebrews 9, 27 through 28 says this, just as a man is appointed to die once, And I'm going to close with this. After that, he will face judgment. Also, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvations to those who eagerly await him. You guys stand with me if you would, please.